This is The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling presents The Basics Guide to Wrestling Reality. Probably your only source, but definitely your best one for recaps of the shows nobody asked for and bits of wrestling gossip you don't need but will make you go... Hi, this is Liz, and you're back. You made it. Welcome to another episode of Wrestling Reality. If you're new to listening to this, we're only three episodes in. This is the third one, and we're talking about the reality TV of wrestling or WWE. Really, it's just started with Total Bellas and Miz and Mrs. And the reason why I even started watching wrestling again was because of Total Divas. So hopefully when that show comes back, we can discuss it here. But in the meantime, we got Miz and Mrs. And Total Bellas. But today, we don't have a Total Bellas recap. There's new episode. But yeah, if you want to catch up, you're only two behind. So, and they're not very long episodes. I try to keep them a little bit shorter than The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling. And this won't be like action type recaps. This is really just reality TV. There are a lot of other reality TV recap shows and very funny and talented people covering Bravo and all the other really good shows. And I think we just need to give a little bit more love to the silliness of Miz and Mrs. and Total Bellas, don't you think? Well, there's no new Total Bellas episode this week, so let's just talk about Miz and Mrs. I was actually behind an episode, so I got to watch two episodes of that, and I completely missed the birth episode. I completely missed the birth of the new baby. I was watching the second episode, actually, where Miz is supposed to be taking care of the babies, and so I watched maybe 5 minutes of that and had to go back. But no, this episode was actually pretty cool because it was the baby shower episode, and Miz was trying to come up with a really nice present for Maryse, and he had his friend slash director, who I thought I heard James Gunn, who was gonna help him make a cute little movie trailer for Maryse. And I kept, he's saying James Gunn, and I don't know what James Gunn looks like. And I'm pretty sure he said James Gunn just to throw everybody off. Because the entire episode, I'm thinking wait, James Gunn would be friends with The Miz? He directed The Marine? That doesn't sound right. Turns out it's James Nunn. I had to do a double check on that because seriously, the entire episode, I was like, why would James Gunn be doing this? I mean, it's cute and all, and if he's doing a favor for a friend, but what is happening? I was correct to be suspicious, though, as I was completely wrong about this. It would have been cool if it was James Gunn. And that was the other part, too. I was thinking, watching the finished trailer that they came up with, was this is James Gunn's best on-the-fly work? I mean, I guess not everybody might have a lot of time, but this is a favor, but no. So basically, Miz wants his friend James to shoot Monroe and make a really cool, awesome trailer. And he said something about her being really good on set. And he was correct. Her whole temperament is just made to become some TV commercial baby or whatever. We already talk about how cute Monroe is. And this whole episode where they're filming her on set was just, it just proved it. She's such a pro. So while they're trying to get this whole trailer thing sorted out, going on with Maryse, she is just at the end of her pregnancy. She's getting kind of irritated and annoyed with the moms. We talked about last week, both moms now live on the property with Mike and Maryse. And it's fine. I think it's a pretty cool setup. But, if they are in their space all the time, I can see obviously it would get not annoying, but you just kind of want some breathing room, right? And then towards the end of your pregnancy, there's always this feeling that you get with people that are close to you, that people that you love, and it's like all of a sudden they just are starting to bother you. And not that they're doing anything different, like they're probably even like being super nice and doting on you, but it's just like like your hormones really are crazy. And Marie's, you can kind of see that in her. Like normally she's getting along just really well with her in-laws and her mom, but she says that she's just getting fed up with them, that they're being super annoying. And that is a totally normal thing, especially like if you're a pregnant person and you start to feel like you want to murder your husband. Like apparently that's very, very normal. They have a baby shower that was like a masquerade. Like Marie's is so extra, and that's what I like about her too. But she wants to have this Hollywood masquerade party, and Mike brings up a very fair point that people in LA are probably going to think it's like a swingers party. It doesn't help that she's also pregnant, because there's probably some weirdos. If you know what I'm talking about here. So they have like this black and silver masquerade party, super chic looking. And they had it at night, but this is a baby shower. But either way, that's just how they do things. We already found out that their family tradition is just to have obnoxious photo shoots. So this makes sense. I absolutely loved the trailer that Miz like debuted. But there was such a missed opportunity, because they actually did dub a voice for Monroe, like her monologue, and it sounded just like a normal American LA girl. They could have used someone with who spoke French. It could have been like hilarious if it was all in French. I was saying like, hey, just having a French accent, that's probably how like Margot has taught Monroe to speak. But yeah, such a missed opportunity. They had her saying, you know, like how she's going to be a really great big sister, and she'll show her the ropes and how to basically like win over her dad, or basically like control her dad. Completely missed opportunity. They should have had her with a French accent or just speaking in French. It would have been so much funnier. But you know what? I'm not the director. That's James Nunn's probably creative choice. I would just say, if you know, want to redo it or a remix, because this was all shot on green screen, you can change it up. You can update it a little bit. It's like a perfect template to use going forward. And I would totally suggest having someone speak in French for Monroe. Just saying. So they did like this cute little trailer of Monroe, the big sister, and it's like in an action movie style trailer. Monroe just looks so adorable, and it made Marie's cry. It was super sweet. It was such a good idea for a gift. And if anybody has or is looking for a type of gift to do, this is something really simple that you can do on your own, just on your phone, is putting together a little video of your kids for your wife, like, or your girlfriend. They will eat that shit up. And it's so easy to do now too, especially if you have an iPhone. Like they make slideshows for you. But yeah, just like a cute little movie trailer, or even like a little mini episode, like a 3-minute reality TV episode. Actually, that's something that I have done for people. And I'm telling you, really good and easy gift. And you get to keep it forever. So the moment that I guess we've all been waiting for, especially if you're watching this show, Madison is born. They did not go with the name Marilyn. Makes sense. And I just realized, Marie's starts with an M, Mike, Monroe. They're all M names. Madison is born. I don't think I know any Madisons in real life, but I think that's a pretty cute name. Maddie would be a nickname for it. Sunny, I don't know. But Marie's was also telling Miz that he had to tell the moms that they couldn't be in the room when she had the baby, which a lot of moms or I guess you would say grandmas would get really offended for like about that, which is really creepy. In this case, the moms understood. They're like, yeah, of course. Why would we want to be in the room? Mike was making it seem like his mom was going to be super upset about it and hurt about it. But like, no, they're actually pretty normal moms. But I do know of parents that like fight to be in the room when their grandchild is born. And it's super creepy. And if you do that, you are creepy. Change your mind and apologize to your daughter or daughter-in-law, for real. Yeah, so that was how the episode ended. We finally got the baby. And then the second episode was picking up, I guess, a couple months later. They already have another new house. So this is their fourth house. I already forgot the name of it. It's like, oh, I can't remember. It's not Chateau. It's another Marmis. It's not a rental. This is like their actual house. And Marie's is doing renovations on it. And Miz is like, what's so funny about Miz throughout this episode? He's talking about being frugal and, you know, saving money. It's okay for him to like police Marie's spending. And it's just because he has no interest in the stuff that she's buying, and which makes sense, obviously. But like to get on her and say that he's like frugal when he's like living this, like he's the Miz. Like, hello, you're not fooling anybody. And I get that it's for the show and they have like, I think he overdoes it, but still, it's still a little grating when he's on Marie's for all her spending. Like, she's just trying to make your stupid home like beautiful and comfortable for y'all to live in. She's not doing it just for herself. If she were doing something just for herself, it'd be a lot more personal shopping that she'd be doing. And so Mike made a comment about how he wanted a urinal. That's all he wanted. And she's spending all this money on the rest of the house and he's not even going to get a urinal. But I also agree that he should have a urinal in the house. The very first time I went to a home where there was a urinal in the bathroom, I was surprised, but also after I thought, like within the 10 seconds, I was surprised and then thought, what a genius idea. This also happened to be at the home of a male married couple. And again, genius, because I mean, it's just them two. So that is kind of like a dream item. And then especially like, I mean, if I were to ever have like a nice, big, beautiful home, I would totally install a urinal. And yeah, like it's also a great talking piece. I'm already spending a lot of time just talking about a urinal here. But it should be in the house, especially if you have like a big enough house and you can afford it. You should definitely install one. So we're back. Back to the show. The kids' schedules that Marie's has them on, you know, she has a whole full-on system. And Miz is back from, you know, doing his, like, from traveling for wrestling and stuff. And he, of course, wants to be with his kids, but he's throwing them off the schedule, which is also frustrating because he's probably not going to have to be the one to deal with the consequences of it once he has to maybe leave again. Or, you know, he knows that he's probably not going to have to be putting down these kids to bed. And it shows because when Marie's goes to do her stuff that she's got to do, which is like working out and, you know, just having her me time that she needs, Marjo is at the house helping and Mike is just totally taking advantage. And we know, again, this is all a little bit extra, maybe a little bit played up, but still equally frustrating to watch him order Marjo around. And rightfully, she tells him that she's not going to help anymore. You know, he can do it himself. And she goes to relax. The other thing that they had mentioned in this episode is that they have a new person living in the home with them, and that is George, Mike's retired dad. So they all live together in this big house. And yes, a lot of people would think it's crazy, but I personally think it's a great idea, especially if they have their own property that they get to stay in. Yeah, sure, they're probably going to encroach sometimes, but it's so great to like have their whole family together. Like, it seems like it's very important to Miz and obviously Marie's, but like he's very attached to his parents. And the fact that they both can agree that their parents can stay with them. I mean, Marjo has been living with them for, I think, the beginning of this, since the beginning of the series, I think. Marjo's always been, like, around and just helping Marie's here and there before the babies were even born. And it's really great that Mike and Marie's can agree on this, because not a lot of couples think it's a very good idea. It works for them. And for a lot of couples who might be, who think that you shouldn't be doing that, that you shouldn't involve your parents in that way, maybe wait a few years and then have a few kids and then, like, maybe rethink it, because it totally comes in handy to have your family very nearby. And this is speaking to somebody who doesn't have their parents in the same city. So I get both sides, definitely, for sure. But it's just funny to actually see this play out on TV because, well, I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of the other shows, so I'm not sure how their families work, but I think this is cool to see. It's kind of the same thing as the Bellas living next door to one another. I think it's just really great to see a whole other family dynamic on these types of shows. So back to this episode, Miz is taking care of the babies. He decides to run errands. He has to go to get, like, pet supplies, and he takes Marjo with him. So she's, like, helping out, but he said that she has a tendency to get lost whenever they go to the stores. And I can totally relate to this, because that is my grandma. She's like a total ghost. She will just, like, yeah, she basically just falls off and then she'll reappear later. Like, oh, hey, what's going on? And in this case, like, I think they went to Costco and Mike was paging Marjo over the intercom. And yeah, she's just come around like, what's the big deal? Why are you basically embarrassing me and calling me to the front? It's because, like, he keeps losing her. And they do it again. They're at the pet supply store. And I think she just kind of wandered off too. And Mike is trying to, like, push a stroller while chasing Monroe, who ran away. Monroe eats a dog treat. But what like stood out was how calm Miz was seeing her with that dog treat in her mouth. And he was just like, oh, did you eat a dog treat? Oh, that's not good. And I thought that was really funny because I figured he would have freaked out a little bit more. A story that Marie's has going on in this episode, you know, she's doing the renovations and Mike is complaining about the cost and how she can't be taking out any more money from the bank, and she agrees. So what she decides to do is team up with George, who has a guy for everything. Again, totally relate. My stepdad is that guy that has a guy, and he has an idea to sell their old toilets that are in their house, because I think Marie's wants to buy, like, a bed or a castle bed or something like that for the girls. And so she sells old toilets that are in their house and she autographs it. They put a picture of Mike inside the toilet bowl. And I think, I don't know if it makes noise when you open the lid, but they were able to sell it at a store called Mr. Stuff. It's kind of like a whole food and things, food and stuff, come and go type of store. But yeah, Mr. Stuff, I guess it's just like a pawn shop, or I'm not sure what type of specialty store this is that would take these autographed toilets. But either way, Marie's got like $800 for a toilet, and they could probably, what did she say? They were talking about like making thousands of money by just selling a bunch of these toilets, because somebody will actually buy them. Cool, I guess. But once they get back to the house is when Marie's reveals the surprise for Miz, and that is his urinal that she installed. And he literally cried. It was a very fitting reaction. I mean, he made her cry with that movie trailer of Monroe. She made him cry with the urinal. And yeah, what a happy ending. Bye-bye to the brim and the proper. Bye-bye to the pink and the pasture. There was no Total Bellas episode. I went ahead and watched the Live Forever documentary that was on WWE Network. And okay, so I'm not the biggest Liv Morgan fan. I know that she just has a lot of support because she really is, like, just such a good person. If you watch Total Divas, you get it. She just has, like, a cool like welcoming and warm personality. And she just seems like so sweet. And it's just, it doesn't ever really translate into the ring. Like there isn't, and again, this documentary sort of talks about that. There's no way to define Liv, which can work, but you have to have that, like, I guess, physical talent to make up for it then. And again, I'm not saying that she doesn't. It's just we haven't seen that. And in this documentary, they talk about it a little bit more. What I want to mention about this documentary is kind of like the format of it. It wasn't a chronicle. It wasn't like a 24 or 365 where they, I guess there's like a certain feel to those documentaries. This one is a standalone called Live Forever, definitely different than the chronicle that they did on Lana, where cameras followed her for like 18 months, I think. The music, the graphics, just like the whole editing of this was very different. But even so, I don't think it really like fully captured the story of Liv Morgan. And I know it's only supposed to be like, I don't even know if it was like 30 or 45 minutes, but still it wasn't fully realized. And I guess what a metaphor for Liv Morgan, right? Undefined and like still not fully realized. But you know, they talk about how it starts off with her being broken up from the Riot Squad and moving over to SmackDown on her own. And we talked about how on the Basic Sky to Women's Wrestling, we talked about how she wrestled against Charlotte, and Charlotte really did call her out and asked, "Who are you even?" And Liv even said, like, "I don't know. I don't know who I am, but I'm gonna find out. And when I come back, you'll all know." And then again, we saw the behind the scenes where nothing came of it. Nothing happened for weeks. Like, they wouldn't put her on TV. She's pitching characters for herself. And admittedly, she said that she wasn't ready to leave the Riot Squad, or the Riot Squad felt like they didn't finish what they even wanted to accomplish. They hadn't reached that. There was still unfinished business. You know, this isn't NXT UK, but they had like that whole ghost element to it. Liv, again, just wasn't getting anywhere. And it's kind of, I mean, we all knew what was going on, but to see her reactions to it, she has such a good attitude about it too. You know, she does admit that she was worried for her job. She doesn't know if they're going to keep her because they're not doing anything with her. They're not utilizing her. But her optimism is just, like, it was really inspiring. And I want to be a huge Liv Morgan fan. I want to, you know, root for her in the ring. And so hopefully, like, that happens, especially now she's back together with Ruby Riott. I know on Basic Sky to Women's Wrestling, I keep bringing it up, but we talk about how, I mean, I personally like seeing the Riott Squad back together. And it makes sense, again, watching this doc, because it's not full circle. And it's not even like really it kind of is a second chance. I think Liv said we have to start we're back at square one, but that's not really the case. It really is kind of like a second chance deal where she's kind of back at square one, but she has like that knowledge. It's like, you know, when people ask if you could tell your 14-year-old self anything, like what would you do? Or if you could go back in time knowing the knowledge that, or having the knowledge that you have now, what would you do differently? And this is like their chance to do it. And that the fact that they're on SmackDown, I think, is even more even more of an opportunity. Again, I liked the way that this documentary was put together. Liv was doing her voiceovers she's narrating it, obviously. But when I saw the previews, I saw her in a sound booth and I was thinking, oh no, is she also going to try to sing? That wasn't the case. It was like just clips of her talking in the studio, which, I don't know, another creative choice maybe I wouldn't have gone with. But again, this isn't my show. Liv talks about her upbringing. You know, she had like, I think, six other siblings. Her mom was a single mom. Her dad died when she was pretty young from a heart attack. So it was like chaotic is how she described her household. Her mom was just trying to work and keep everybody fed and alive. And she had, you know, family members that just had a lot of anger. And what she would do is actually not isolate herself, but, you know, she would kind of find solace in wrestling, watching wrestling, which is really cool to hear. I love hearing about, like, these female superstars who grew up watching wrestling and decided then, this is what I want to do. We heard it from Sasha and from Bayley. And Liv is the same way. Like, she actually wanted to be a wrestler. And this is how I know that maybe I wouldn't have been very successful. Because even though I didn't know wrestling schools existed, maybe, like, Liv, Bayley, Sasha also didn't. But they wanted it so much that they sought it out and they found those schools to go to. I wasn't that ambitious. I didn't. So, again, it's cool to see Liv's backstory, growing up as a fan and deciding that this is what she wanted to do too. She said that she had, like, a normal way of life at school because she was involved in activities and she, you know, she had good friends around her, but they didn't know what was going on at home. They didn't know that she was watching wrestling. But kudos on her mom for seeing her, or, like, you know, respecting her interests and taking part in it, because she built them a wrestling ring in their backyard. Like, not many parents are gonna do that. And so it was super, like, on Total Divas we actually got to meet Liv and her mom, and again, her mom is super sweet. She also, we also know where Liv gets her bah screams from, and it's her mom, but we didn't see it in this documentary. But yeah, she talks about how she went out and started building them a backyard ring that they would use after school. So that was just, like, a really sweet part of the documentary. And yeah, like, Liv got signed when I think she was 19. She got a contract at NXT. And she said that being a Hooters waitress actually helped her. Not just because, like, she had her first job and she's, you know, learning responsibilities, but she actually got to be in the calendar and go to the pageants. So she was getting out there, she was getting in shape, and then she was able to get a contract at NXT and realized that she wasn't as in shape. And so she, you know, she knew she had to work really hard. And she actually, I don't know if she says she was in the same class, but she was at NXT with Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha, Bayley, who else was there? Well, she mentioned them, except she stayed longer in NXT. She didn't have a ton of on TV matches because I think I started watching around the time where she came out on the program, and her character was a little bit more like, I would compare it to Carmella's, and that's not what happened when she joined the Riot Squad. But they had backstage footage of her at NXT. And yeah, just seeing, like, how excited and happy she was to be doing what she actually wanted to do, like, grow up to be. So that was, I guess, like, the sweet part of this special, was getting to know a little bit more about her, her background. And we really still haven't seen the full Liv Morgan as far as her in-ring character goes. I think a lot of it has to do with her not getting really the right opportunity to do so. But now there's no excuse, because now she's in the spotlight. She has her special. She's getting pushed more. She's back with Ruby. And it is the time to really capitalize and make a statement and make everybody know you. Like the Lana Chronicle. This is also a short watch, and I kind of wish that there was more to it, maybe a little bit longer, especially considering that there's 18 months worth of footage. But who knows, maybe she'll have, like, her own 365 special come from that footage. So yeah, take this as your gossip segment. Thanks for joining in this week, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave a review and a rating, only high ones. And although I don't post often, you can follow The Semi Basic on Twitter and Instagram, and maybe we can get a dialogue going there. I usually live tweet NXT on Wednesdays, including the men's segments, if you like them. So if you wish to engage there, give The Semi Basic a follow, and let me know how much you like these other reality shows, and just wrestling in general. And I'd love to get your thoughts on Liv Morgan. Make a believer out of me. So yeah, until next week.